Today on Real Life Radio.
Now, as a Christian, listen, my Christianity comes first. My citizenship is first in heaven. But as far as it comes to promoting the gospel, I will use every bit of my legal right given to me in the government to proclaim the gospel.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, begins part 5 today in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 27 through 30. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. We found in the previous verses of chapter 1 Paul's description of the relevant Christian. In verses 8 through 11, they are transformed people, abounding more and more in love. In verses 12 through 14, their mission is to further the gospel no matter what's going on in their lives. In verses 15 through 21, they rejoice in the face of anything through Christ. And in verses 20 through 26, they are faithful to the end, knowing that remaining on this earth is a benefit to others. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how Paul encourages Christians to stay strong against a hostile world, to keep sharing the love of God even when facing conflict or rejection. For God's arms are open wide even if their hearts are closed. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Now, Paul says, and this is vital because Philippi, listen to this, The city of Philippi was not in Italy. It was over 800 miles from Rome. Why do I say this? Because Philippi was unique. It was a Roman colony. What does that mean? It means that every bit of citizenship, power, and influence and rights that belonged to a Roman-born citizen applied to those who were born in Philippi. Why? That's abnormal. Why? Because when Anthony and Octavian, when there was a big war against these Roman powers, Octavian had won and his soldiers were given their retirement and their generals went and settled in a very beautiful place in their military retirement called Philippi. And that place was so beautiful and wonderful and there was such a strong presence of Roman, retired Roman power that the Roman government, to thank their generals who began to live in that community, they gave them the declaration or status of Roman colony. That means everybody who was in Philippi had all the rights of a free Roman-born citizen from Rome. Pretty big deal. Because listen, I know we don't get this anymore. It's kind of tragic, actually. But a Roman colony like Rome, the children were raised to learn civics. That's where we get that from. Did you know that? Civics. They were taught politics. They were taught cultural engagement. Listen, the Roman citizen, Paul was this way. Paul was raised as a freeborn Roman citizen to be engaged in Roman society. It was expected of you. It wasn't an option. I'm going somewhere with this. You didn't sit it out. Paul the apostle, before he was converted, was intimately engaged not only in his Judaism, but because he was a Roman, guess what? Paul cast his input. Paul got involved. You couldn't separate the two. That's why he so often stresses that our citizenship is now where? In heaven. But church, listen, did he, because he was a citizen of heaven, divorce himself from his citizenship as a Roman? No. What did he do with it? He used it, didn't he? He used it. He says, hey, you just smacked me. You just beat me up and threw me in jail. So what? You're a Christian. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Roman citizen, and what you just did to me was illegal, and I appealed to Caesar. Boy, are you in trouble. I like that. God forbid that a pastor or a Christian should do that today. Wait a minute. You and I as Americans, or maybe you've come to the United States and you've become an American, you have now all rights. Now, as a Christian, listen, my Christianity comes first. My citizenship is first in heaven. But as far as it comes to promoting the gospel, I will use every bit of my legal right given to me in the government to proclaim the gospel. Listen, I've been on Fox News a few times. Do you think they like it? Do you think they like that I hope within 30 seconds after my face being on the screen has nothing to do with the topic that I say Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the grave? Listen, you say, what are you doing that for? Because I didn't ask to be on the news. They asked me. They're going to get it. They want to suffer. That's their business. Use it. Use it. And Paul is saying this to them. He says, let your conduct, your politics be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You now are a bona fide, freeborn, all right-caring citizen of heaven. And every Philippian believer went, wow, we know what that means. It's something to be Roman. It's something greater to be a Christian. Wow. I know that comes as a shock to some people, not you, but there are people who are watching this right now in various places online and on internet TV and stuff like that, and they think, wait a minute, what's he talking about? I was born in America. I have a passport. I'm an automatic Christian. No, God's not an American. He's not even Texan. And he's certainly not a Californian. When he says to walk worthy of Christ and the gospel of Christ, see the word worthy? It's a pretty amazing word, and it's important for us to understand this. The word worthy means a God-worthy honoring. A God-honoring, a God-worthy. It's a statement of association. Listen carefully. It means to live your life as a believer, a citizen of heaven, in an appropriate way. An appropriate way. To live for Christ in an appropriate way. Now, what is appropriate? That would be, listen, the word means, because it answers itself. The word means in a way that is godlike. Godlike. All of a sudden, in my mind, I'm thinking that if we as a Christian are going to be relevant and being relevant, resilient against a lost world, that we have the answer, and that answer is this. Are you sitting down, everybody? The answer is to the world. Look at my life. That's what he's saying to them. Philippians, get on out there into the world. You see, he's chained to these Roman guards. He's in prison in Rome. And what does he say? He says, you know what? Listen, you guys, get out there. Right now, I'm free in this prison to preach Christ to these prison guards. You're free there in Philippi to go run around the whole city and let them see your life. Why? Because your life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. The unbeliever's not going to read a Bible. That's okay. Let them see you, and then they're going to want to read the Bible. That's what he's saying. And this forces me to judge myself now. It forces you to judge you. That's the best judgment of all, by the way. There should be a lot of judging going on. Unfortunately, we're shooting it at other people. We need to shoot that judgment at ourselves. I need to judge myself in light of the Bible. Look, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, then listen, we do not judge you. And you quite frankly have no ability to judge yourself because you're in darkness, the Bible says. When it comes to judgment, I need to judge myself as a believer because I know the light. But if you today say you're a Christian, now that changes everything. Because you can't be a Christian bank robber and you can't be a Christian murderer. Because Christianity refuses that, rejects that. You're lost while you still wear a title. You have a title of Christian over your head, but there's no difference in your life than the life of the world. You're not a Christian. You may think you are, and you might argue that you are, but you're not. The Bible says you're not. No, Paul says, listen, you Philippians, get on out there, because I know that you're believers, and you let your life be seen by the world around you because you are living for the gospel of Christ and the world will see it. That's the answer. The world has no answer. We are the answer. I know they hate us, but why would our conduct matter? Why would our politic matter? Because in the world that is ever increasingly dark, you and I are the answer from a world that's killing itself. Ladies and gentlemen, please. And in a crowd this size, you may not be a Christian at all. You could have even come here to be an antagonist. And that's fine. Guess what? You're welcome here. You know what? You're welcome here. But listen, this is who we are. It is this. This ever-increasing world, we get it. We understand that. And though you may hate us, what you'll never figure out, and I have to agree, I get it too. I mean, I couldn't figure it out before I was a Christian too. But we actually love you, even though we just can't stand the stuff you're doing. Because you know what's really amazing? You know what we've come to learn? We've come to learn that the stuff that you're doing that makes us sick, it's not you. It's what you do. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine to free us from the power of sin. The reason why he did that. See, the result of him doing it frees you from your sin. But why did he do it? Yeah, for God so loved you. So one of the strange things, you know what? Yeah, you Christians are a bunch of weirdos. It's true. You Christians make me sick. We make ourselves sick. You guys just, I know, we agree. Here's the deal. We love you because Jesus loves you. And we want to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ because you've seen enough already in the name of Jesus. In fact, you know what? If we've seen the stuff you've seen, and maybe we have, we would conclude like you, I don't need God. In fact, I'm going to become an enemy of God because look at those Christians. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. With all of that, we agree, except of your decision. God has never offended you. God has never done anything but give you the breath of life. He gives the sun to shine down upon your head and the rain to fill your cup. God has been good. All things good, the Bible says, comes from God. Think of it. You can't hide behind how we as Christians have failed you in our witness. But I cannot discount the fact that God has changed some of our lives so profound that if you'd give us a chance, we could tell you that we were once, fill in the blank, remember that? What were you once? What did you live for once? What burned in your passion? Can you remember how dark it was? I think of my life. My mother always pounded into my head, I want you to be an attorney. I don't know if she ever planned on getting in trouble or not, but she wanted me to be an attorney. And that didn't work. And I had a chance to do some other things, but because of my temper, that didn't work. And and this was God's grace. I remember having a passion to go into the military to be a certain kind of a person, and I think God spared me because that would have worked. And then when you move on to the next thing, you see, it's always something. I'm describing me. You can describe you. And that has been one of the biggest struggles of my early Christian life was that God hated my sin, but he loved me. Because I had come to the point at the ripe old age of 19 that I not only hated my sin, I hated me. Because I couldn't separate the two. You with me? Couldn't separate the two. When I looked in the mirror, I was that thing. And God sees between the you and the it. And it's called the gospel. Jesus would come and die on the cross, listen, and set us free from the power of that sin. Look, I may be a mess, but I'm saintly compared to what I used to be. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is only through Jesus do I see myself more horrific now than I was back then. Even though I was worse then, I was far from God. But now I'm way better, but I'm closer to God, which makes me ugly. Are you with me? Makes me ugly. The thoughts just now. Now, back then, the thought would have been, well, I oughta. To now, when the thought is, well, I oughta. Two different people, same words, maybe a different meaning, but just the slightest of darkness is sickening. Because he is so beautiful. Because he is so bright. Because he's so amazing. He's so other than you and me. He's so other than. We have that answer to the world that's dying out there, ladies and gentlemen. We have that answer. We're to be resilient against a world that has no answers. This world is so full of itself. This world so thinks it knows and has the answer. Does it not? And have you noticed? Listen, if there's any doubters in the house of the Bible, have you noticed? The Bible says in the last days, people will call good evil and evil good. The Bible says, Jesus said in the last days, listen, man, listen, become a believer when you hear this. Jesus said that as we approach the end of humanity, lawlessness will abound because, he says, because the love for mankind, for one another, will grow cold. Is that not happening? The Bible is perfectly true. And the fact that we are Christians more now than ever matters how we live our life. Let your conduct, let the way you live be known by everyone. Church will end with this. Anything in your life that is doubtful, anything in your life that is secret, anything in life that you can't put on your front garage door at your house, if there's anything you just can't shout to the world, get rid of it. Now, you don't have to do that if you're not a Christian. You don't have to. I'm just talking to the Christian today. If from this moment on you're going to name the name of Jesus, if there's anything in your life that is unable to be shouted out front or painted on your garage door, if you can't do that, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you better cut that out of your life now. Because as long as it's there, it's hindering people from coming to the gospel. It's hindering people from coming to the love of Jesus. This is for all of us. The hour is late. Jesus is coming. The world has gone nuts. People are scared. Your neighbors, your friends are scared. You know how I know they're scared? They're acting like they're not scared. That's really, they're whistling, but they're not whistling. You know what I mean? In the dark. You see, well, Jack, no one knows. Only God knows my doubtful thing. Guess what? It's that thing that's keeping him from connecting with you to grant unto you all power to affect your neighbors and your family and your friends. That's why your wife's not listening to you anymore. That's why your husband is distrustful now. I didn't say anything. They don't know anything. They don't have to know anything. God knows it all. And God forbid our neighbors would look at us and say, wait, what? You're telling me about the gospel? You're telling me? Wouldn't that break your heart? And so Paul says, live worthy of the gospel. Father, we ask you to search our hearts this morning. As believers, just believers this morning, just Christians, just us. We ask you, Lord God, that you would sovereignly move in our lives to peel back, as it were, our skin. Lord, I'm reminded this when ISIS in northern Iraq began skinning Christians alive for hours and hours and hours. They were skinned alive. The skin was peeled back. And what did it reveal? It revealed a people that kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Someone reported that the more they said Jesus, the more angry the ISIS warriors became. Jesus. And Lord, right now, We're asking you to peel back our skin. That what would be revealed coming out of us would be that which is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, I know today, if you've walked into this church today, I'm going to be praying for you because you're probably kind of freaked out. I get that, and I'm sorry for that. But I got to ask you, friend, what are you living for? What is your love in this life? If it's anyone or anything other than Jesus, then that's tragedy. We're asking you today that you would consider Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that is conjured up in the emotions of man, but the Jesus of the Bible. Of course, who says that he loved you so much he died on the cross for your sins. Of course that Jesus. But of course, he is the same Jesus who says, you are either for me or you are against me. Right now, where are you? He's the same Jesus that says for those who reject him, they will be carted away into a Christless eternity of hell because they wouldn't come to him. They wouldn't find the rescuer. He is amazing. But do you know that? I pray that you would speak to him today. I pray that you'd call out to him today. Church, can we stand as we remain in an attitude of prayer? Can we stand and offer up this song of worship to him as a prayer? And as we do this right now, if anyone is wanting to have their life changed forever, at the end of this song, you can come forward up here to pray. But Christians, right now, let's thank him. Let's just thank him. Let's make this worship song our prayer. And I hope that today, this afternoon maybe, could you imagine if this crystal blue sky would be pierced with the shattering sound of a trumpet? And you would find yourself, Christian, being catapulted up into the sky to meet Christ. May it be today, but may all of us be ready for him even now.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today, and take heart. The battles you face as a Christ follower against the evils of our day prove that you are a citizen of heaven. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture, brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.